Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I don't know. I like saying that sometimes. So we are here to discuss Escape from New York.
Guess what?
What?
Tomorrow is my 10-year New York anniversary.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Today I was loading up the U-Haul 10 years ago.
Yeah. I had like a 3-day drive when I moved to New York. So, but yeah, mine's in April. But 10 years, that's good. That makes you officially a New Yorker.
Really?
They say. So we are here to discuss Escape from New York, which originally debuted September 10th in the year 2000.
It was written by Becky Hartman Edwards. This is her only episode she wrote of Sex and the City.
She is an Emmy nominee for In Living Color and The Larry Sanders Show.
Mm.
It was co-written by MPK. I'm always curious about co-writes. Because it doesn't necessarily mean they like sat down and wrote it together. It often means like someone provided a storyline. Like, I wonder if Becky Hartman Edwards like lives in LA and kind of helped with the LA stuff.
Perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps. Directed by John Coles. He's going to direct the next episode too, which also makes me wonder if he's an LA person, because it's not a spoiler, but the next episode also takes place in LA.
That is a spoiler. I didn't know that.
So here's the thing about spoilers. If I tell you who, like, murdered someone, we find out five of it. That's a spoiler.
There's murder in the show?
If you wrote it, there would be. So we start off with the rainy window.
New York City. Dreary, gray, miserable. Or was that just me?
And what I like about this rainy window is that the rainy window is closed.
Yes.
And Carrie doesn't even have it cracked while she smokes a cigarette. She is smoking a cigarette at the window.
I imagine her apartment just smells like stale cigarette smoke.
Always. And also, like... that rain is out of control.
Yeah.
It's just like someone is standing above that window just pouring water down it.
Yeah, it's funny. It reminds me, speaking of 30 Rock, there's a 30 Rock where they make a set of the set, mm-hmm. and it has Jack Donaghy's window with like the rain just pouring down it. That's totally what this reminds me of.
I've never seen 30 Rock.
Oh, next podcast.
yeah, and... I think her apartment probably does stink, but she also has a ton of really expensive stuff. So I'm wondering why it's not in, like, plastic bags, but whatever.
She's packing. We don't really know what's happening quite yet.
Nope.
But she's packing to go somewhere, and then we cut to the four girls at the diner.
Where the salts have been filled.
A little bit, but it's funny. Probably
like, not all the way.
You've mentioned it. Now I'm noticing the salts, too.
Yeah, like, someone did their side
work.
Well,
maybe it's, like, Monday side work.
Okay.
And so, like, if we were there on a Monday, it'd be mm-hmm. full, but we're at the end of the week now.
And a lot of people want salt.
A lot of people want salt. What we find out here is that someone is thinking about optioning Carrie's column.
Do you think the studio will send a limo to pick us up?
No, I do not.
They should. They're making a movie out of your columns.
It's a little production company that's just talking about optioning my columns.
Charlotte. Just came back from her honeymoon.
Right, so she has pictures.
Yeah, so Charlotte has just come back from 10 days in Bermuda. Yes, and she has her little portfolio or like little envelope of her pictures. And she's going to show them her pictures. Now, this is something that doesn't happen anymore because of Facebook and Instagram and everything's on a phone. Yeah. So you could still get dragged through the having to look at your friend's boring pictures.
Oh, I will always remember... I will say as vaguely as possible. When a friend sat me down to show me, quote unquote, some pictures... And at some point, probably like 5 minutes, 10 minutes into the journey, I looked and could see we were on like picture 35 of like 748 or something like that. Yeah, maybe it's like slideshows. Do you ever replace it? Yeah.
It was a lot.
That's not fun.
So yeah, she has the pictures and her and Carrie are the only ones looking at them really.
Yeah.
Or no, or is she showing Miranda?
Yeah, Miranda and Sam are still there at this point, but it's just golf pictures. Like, yeah, nothing exciting. They did a lot of golfing.
We find out that Miranda and Samantha are also going.
Yes, Miranda and Samantha are going along. Charlotte is not going.
No.
And then when they get up to leave, we kind of quickly get to Carrie telling Charlotte about Aiden.
I told Aiden about the affair and he broke up with me. Trey and I never had sex on our honeymoon. You win.
Nope.
And then after trying, it just became frustrating. And yeah, they just played a lot of golf. Now, another thing I noticed, I actually noticed this right away, before Carrie even goes in to kind of fiddle with Charlotte's rings, that they're on her right hand.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Is that ever a thing?
I don't. Sometimes in my brain, and this is probably not right, but I wonder if it's like a mirror where things are reversed.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's like when you take pictures sometimes. I don't know.
All that I can think in that instance is that it's playing for the camera.
Right.
So I'm going to keep an eye on her hands.
Okay.
I'll be keeping an eye on Charlotte's hands
I'll
in the future
to see if
I'll
keep my eye on the cigarettes.
Yeah, I was going to say, you keep your eyes on the merits. Her wedding rings are on her right hand, which is kind of odd. My notes auto-corrected me. So it literally says, importance is a common problem, and he can't be important. Okay.
Impotence is a common problem. Oh, do you think he's impotent?
And I love Charlotte's sort of insistence. Like, he's too handsome.
Yeah, he can't.
No, Charlotte. That's not how it works.
No, nope, but I do like when bad things happen to pretty people. I'm kidding. I don't. Mike does, apparently.
I think that's really good. I'm going to have that t-shirt made. And then Charlotte's going to stay and have another cup.
Uh-huh.
I guess that coffee is real good.
Those cups are tiny.
Are they tiny?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I have like a regular coffee pot at home, and every morning I make at least four to six cups. No, not the entire thing. Like one third of it. And I drink all of that one third.
I'm currently having my, like, very large glass of iced coffee right now, so I'm not judging at all.
Yeah.
So then we get to L.A.
Later that day, three single New Yorkers arrived in the City of Angels.
Them arriving in L.A. is them arriving at the hotel, though, right? Like, they're already at the pool area.
Which we find out later in the episode is the standard.
Yeah, it's the standard Hollywood as opposed to the standard downtown. There are two different standards in L.A.
Okay.
So this is the Hollywood. This is on Sunset Boulevard.
And there is a man, a model in the background in a fish tank.
Wait, that's his job?
And which I guess is a recognizable thing. Like, that was a thing at the standard. I assume it still is, maybe? I don't know for sure.
Not that I've seen in New York.
Well, not in New York, but I mean at this particular standard that they had that little fish tank.
And there were people in it.
I wonder if they still do that.
Could I be in it?
Get paid. Sure.
Like, I would love to be like, but not at the standard.
You want to be like at
a Days Inn. I want to be like at a Days Inn or like a Holiday Inn. Or
what would you be reading?
It would just be me reading Red Book, like in my pajamas. Maybe eating a lean cuisine.
But I like all of this.
Yeah, like eating a lean cuisine. Maybe doing Sudoku. I don't know how to do that. Hold on, I'm not done with my vision.
Okay, what's up?
I'm going to be in a full pajama, a lean cuisine, probably a can of Tab. Okay. It'll be like an ode to 80s with like designing women on like a mini TV in the background.
All right, I'm in. So there seems to be a problem.
Words I'm never fond of hearing.
I have reservations for Miss Jones and Miss Bradshaw, but not Miss Hobbs.
And after a quick assessment between her two friends, acknowledging that
Samantha's going to go home with the fish tank guy. Yeah. Nemo. She has found Nemo.
She's found Nemo, and Miranda's going to stay with Carrie, at which point Carrie says,
okay, I don't want to hear anything about my smoking.
You're on a non-smoking floor.
Words I'm even less fond of hearing.
I don't know why I find that so funny, but I really do. So they literally go out for a smoke.
For two hits off a cigarette.
It's a funny moment. And for me, it's very L.A. I don't have a ton of L.A. experience. But the limited L.A. experience I do have is that people don't love to go out. People tend to either stay in their homes or, like, in this instance, I think it's very accurate that they're staying at a hotel and they're going to go out at the hotel. Like, they're going to go to the hotel bar, and that's kind of their activity for the evening. So they step outside, a couple of puffs on a cigarette,
go back in.
Were you mad that
she, like, threw it on that stair?
Yeah. And then she goes to, like, squish it, but she doesn't even. She just kicks it onto the
next
thing.
Tell me about it, Stud.
I liked her shoes, though.
Back in the hotel bar, we realized the three-hour time difference also made us 3 hours late for cocktail hour.
So Sam meets Garth.
She meets Garth. He
James
is a
McDonald.
Dildo model.
He's a dildo model. And I wrote, only in a TV show, only in L.A., only Samantha.
Right.
It's perfectly, that's what would happen to Samantha in L.A. on a TV show. She would meet the dildo model.
You wouldn't tease a girl, would you?
And he invites her to her dildo release party at the Hustler Club.
Yeah, I believe so. I wonder if that mustache was for this part. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's very porn stash.
But is he a porn star or just
no,
the dildo?
No, no.
Yeah, he's just the dildo
just
model.
I don't know that you become a dildo model without being a porn, or at least an adult, like,
film actor.
Or even just a
model.
Right, exactly. Like, being a nude model. So, he's somewhere
right,
in the
no
adult
one would
entertainment.
Know about,
right.
No one would know about Garth.
I mean, it's not just, like, you know, Brad Pitt's, like, you know. I would buy
what
that.
What did Brad Pitt have to do with any of this?
Well, if he was just, like, a guy. I guess Brad Pitt's not just a guy, though.
No, he's, like, a famous actor. What an elitist thing to say.
Wait, who's Brad Pitt again? So,
Interview with a Vampire.
Thank you. I actually was confused. No, I wasn't. So Miranda meets Mr. Dick.
Mr. Dick, Jason Dick.
It's spelled D-I-Q-U-E. It's Dutch, and yes, I've thought about changing.
Edward Kerr.
And they have a conversation, and they're really flirty.
I'm a lawyer.
Oh, and I thought I had it bad.
No.
No, really, that's great. You look like a lawyer.
And you look like a dick.
It is so great to talk to a smart and funny woman.
And as soon as he says it...
See, I find this scene to be so depressing, and yet I suppose highly accurate for a lot of guys, that he sees like a younger... I'm not going to say prettier. More...
Busty.
More busty, yeah. This girl walk by and he's gone. He's like, oh, I'll be right back. And it's just depressing to me.
Yeah.
It makes me really sad. But also makes me feel like we're just raising men wrong.
Well, no, but I think it's like, it's that idea of like Mr. Right and Mr. Right Now. You know, I mean, he's probably thinking like, oh, Miranda's the type of girl that I would really like to be with. But I'm on vacation or she's on vacation. So I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah. Depressing. And then we meet the most ambitious and feared creature in all of Los Angeles.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
The junior development executive.
Played by Sarah Michelle Gellar. And I, in my mind, erroneously thought, here's our first instance of stunt casting.
But you forgot about Alanis.
Which I've never done in my entire
life. No.
I would never forget about Alanis. Maybe it's because that part was smaller. I don't know. But yeah, so I suppose our second instance of stunt casting.
I mean, I would actually go on to say your third instance of stunt casting.
Who would you put besides that?
I'm trying to think of someone funny who was on the show.
Days later. Yeah, stunt casting, I'm going to go ahead and put forward. Oh, you are right. This is the third instance of stunt casting.
Donald Trump.
Well, kind of fourth then, but I'm not going to count him because I don't want to. John Bon Jovi.
That's right.
There we go. Yeah, Elise was right and didn't even know why.
Yep.
So there you go. Our third instance of stunt casting. Once again, not counting what's-his-face. And we also learned... So this is the person who was thinking about optioning Carrie's column, mm-hmm. clearly.
I just love your columns. They're so relatable.
Thanks. Well, I try.
It's like I'm you. Or I will be when I turn 30. You! You are such a loser. You're a loser. You are. I'm kidding. What a loser.
And she makes like a reference that she's like Carrie, but not 30. And I found out Sarah Michelle Gellar was 23 when this was.
So we're doing fine.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that makes me feel great about myself. Back to my podcast. Yeah.
So we do learn that Carrie isn't good with celebrity names either.
No, so Carrie is me. So in
this instance, yeah, you are a Carrie in this
moment.
She's
like Drew Barrymore, Jennifer Loves Something.
Which is mostly funny because Sarah Michelle Gellar and Jennifer Loves Something
are in I Know What You Did Last Summer.
There you go.
Not with James Vanderbeek.
Not with James Vanderbeek. Who is not in that movie.
I thought he was for like a hot second. but Jennifer Love Hewitt was in Can't Hardly Wait.
What is the connection there?
I watched that movie a lot when I was in high school.
I was waiting for there to be like a, which Sarah Jessica Parker saw also.
Nope.
So we have a funny moment of...
Wait, was she in Can't Hardly Wait?
No.
No, Jennifer,
oh, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
Was.
I was like, oh God, I'm going to look like an idiot again.
She was also in Ballroom the Musical.
With Lauren Bacall.
So we do have a fun...
And Bradley Cooper.
A funny moment.
And Gwyneth Paltrow.
And...
Is that Gwyneth Paltrow or is that Reese Witherspoon?
Who knows? No one will ever know.
No one ever knows.
So we do have a moment of something being fixed in post.
But not...
Not well.
Not fixed.
not well. So as we're getting to who the celebrity is that is interested, Sarah Michelle Gellar fairly clearly mouths the name...
Warren Beatty.
Yeah. Which is then overdubbed with...
Matt McConaughey.
Yeah.
They had to probably shorten it to, like, make
it
fit.
Did that look more like what? Yeah, I guess so. So, I will say, I didn't notice that. I feel like I noticed that something was off, but I didn't, like, analyze it. Mm-hmm. The knowledge that it was supposed to be Warren Beatty made more sense than what we end up getting.
Was Warren Beatty a bigger... Like, what did
No, but he was
sense?
An older gentleman. Like, if you're thinking someone's going to play big, you wouldn't necessarily cast... Sarah Jessica Parker's future failure to launch same age co-star.
You would cast Dick Tracy.
There you go.
Proud of that one, Mike?
I'm very proud of that one. That was a good one. I liked that.
It's because Sondheim wrote the music.
So we do a quick flashback to New York as Trey is working on wedding gift stuff, which is exactly how I wrote it. Wedding gift stuff.
Yeah, at the computer making a spreadsheet. They got two serving platters when they only registered for one. By.
Somehow we've got two serving platters and we only registered for one.
So she's going to sit on his lap.
She's
sexy.
Not being subtle. And, no. and this is clearly the point we're going to get to at some point in some episode in the future. This isn't working, Charlotte.
No.
Like, you being, like, sexy, and aren't you just relaxed? Don't you just feel like getting a hard penis now? Like, it's not going to work.
Nope.
And she eventually gives up and goes back to bed. And we're just avoiding the problem, which I guess is very Charlotte in her trying to make everything as perfect as her picture of it was.
Human.
That is probably true, but I don't know. I like to think that...
No, avoiding the problem.
Yeah.
In general, is just something I think we all do.
When visiting LA, there are two things you simply must do. One is rent a fabulous car. Two is learn how to drive it.
But no, you should learn how to drive it before you rent it.
Yeah. Perhaps. Or rent a
not
stick shift.
Just get an automatic. Yeah. No, just don't get the stick shift.
Which apparently Mike told me he learned how to drive on a stick shift.
I didn't. I should correct that. I didn't learn how to drive on a stick shift, but I learned how to drive soon after learning how to drive. Basically, I learned how to drive on an automatic, totaled my car, and then the next car I got was a stick shift, and I had to learn how to drive that when I was like 17. So I learned fairly early. I will say years later when I hadn't driven a stick shift and I went to drive it, it took me about 30 seconds. And then I was like, oh, I remember how to do this.
I failed my first driving test.
Oh, I did. I failed my first written test.
Oh, no. I was backing into a space and you know how, was it backing in or was it parallel parking? It's, you guys, I've lived in New York for 10 years, which means I haven't driven in 10 years. So don't judge me right now. But it's when you have to turn the wheel all one way and then turn it back.
That's parallel parking.
Yeah. That's what I was doing. And I turned the wheel all one way, but it was the wrong way. And I knocked over every single cone.
I got 2 out of 4 points on parallel parking. Quick shout out to a friend / listener, Cassie, who is hands down the most amazing parallel parker.
Really?
She posts pictures sometimes that I don't believe are real, that I'm convinced are either Photoshop or she has hired people to lift her car and walk it sideways into the spot. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I failed my written test the first time and was convinced I would just never drive. But then I passed my actual driving.
Yeah, I eventually passed.
That was a fun conversation.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Kudos us.
So Carrie got a stick shift that she can't drive. We do have a slight boom mic coming into, which it's not something that I usually notice, but did happen here.
I didn't.
What's with this hill? LA is supposed to be flat.
Yeah, I think they mean culturally.
And then Samantha's she's just out. Like, yeah, she's pulling a Charlotte when they talk about the funky spunk.
Yeah,
she's just, I'm not going to die in this tin can. I have a date with a dildo.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a good Sam line. And then... does Miranda get into the front seat?
Yeah, she like hops in the front seat, just means total business. And I think she's going to take over, but she doesn't.
No, she's just there to get Carrie to get it done.
Yeah.
Anyways, who knows?
I would have just gotten out and said, put it in neutral. I'm pushing this thing.
So eventually Carrie drives to the Warner Brothers studio.
Which at this point I'm like, okay, she's driving relatively fine.
Until she has
never
to start
mind.
Again.
Nope,
no,
absolutely not.
It's pretty bad. It's not that hard. Whatever. It's fine. It's funny. And we get to Matthew McConaughey.
I like all of it. I think your writing is brilliant.
Who's throughout the scene is in a series of lunges and squats.
I imagine this was just staged and written to be as aggressively masculine as possible.
Yeah.
Which I suppose 18 years ago was more funny. And now I think you could probably take him down.
Yeah.
Hashtag time's up.
Yeah.
But if it, we'll treat it as though it's 2000. And yeah, he's just being very aggressive. Yeah, his
very
weird, like,
gross.
Foot up. He wants to flush out the Carrie and Mr. Big. Like, what is Carrie's problem?
I mean, look at him. I mean, he is such a great guy. I mean, I don't know anybody any cooler than Mr. Big. My only question, really, is what the fuck is Carrie's problem?
I don't particularly think it was just her problem, because actually he had some, you know, commitment issues.
Oh, that's bullshit, Carrie! You know it!
It is all that, like, him talking to the person about whom he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He says at one point that he wants to fuck her? Is that right? Like,
I really want to fuck you, baby.
Are you acting now?
It's pretty crazy.
It's pretty gross. And I was just like, he's doing like these weird flight attendant hand movements throughout the whole thing. And he talks about Big. He's like, he's such a great guy. And even I, who am Team Big, was like, no, he's not. Like, I wouldn't say he's a great guy. I've never said that.
Yeah, but in this case, Matt McConaughey thinks that he's Big.
Yeah, so he's taking like, on that role. What the fuck is Carrie's problem?
Yeah. And I suppose, I mean, I think this probably is very indicative of an aggressive male
meeting
with a woman and kind of, yeah, him a little bit, him just
what's
being
the
overly
thing with head, heart, and loins?
Oh, that's because
we are animals, man, woman, walking the earth. We're made of head, heart, and loins. We're talking about using them. Am I right?
It both feels, once again, I actually really like Matthew McConaughey a lot. And I think I'm going to imagine this as him doing a caricature of himself.
Yes.
That, like, we are man and woman. We are head, heart, and loins.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
That's his whole... It's sort of his reasoning is why they should probably just go ahead and have sex.
Yeah.
But what they what she shouldn't do is smoke.
I don't think you should smoke, Carrie.
What?
In the movie, I don't think Carrie should smoke.
Which I agree. But...
Who cares?
Who cares? She shouldn't smoke
this
in the movie.
This whole scene was just very awkward.
Yeah, it's very... Once again, probably played more for comedy 18 years ago. So Carrie takes a wrong turn and ends up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I think it's kind of... I like that set.
Yeah. It looks just like her... I think it looks like her stoop.
Well, it's done up to certainly look like a West Village kind of neighborhood. It looks very much like the Friends set to me. But I feel like the Friends set was indoors, and I think this is outdoors. So I imagine this set existed. I'd be curious to know what it was there for. And then we have an I couldn't help but wonder.
No matter how far you travel or how much you run from it, can you ever really escape your past?
But it's our first I couldn't help but wonder that's not at a computer.
Right. It's our first time ever hearing a question where she's not typing it out.
And she is smoking.
There's no kind of written... anything. No. It's just her thinking aloud.
Will there be a column this week, then?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Can you escape your past? No.
No. No, you don't escape your past. You deal with your past.
Or you don't deal with it, and you just run away from it, but it's still there.
It comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to actually deal with these situations. And then I do like, we have our little button funny moment of the guy coming by and telling her that she can't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm outside. And it's New York!
Which I wonder, because at this point in New York, there's not a lot of places, unless you're on the street, really, that you can smoke. I don't think you can smoke in parks. You can't smoke in restaurants if you're sitting outside, even. And so at this point, was L.A. ahead of the game?
I think L.A. was ahead of the game.
With smoking?
Yeah, New York, definitely. You could still smoke anywhere in 2000. I don't think there was a lot of... regulation other than, like, I'm sure there were smoking and non-smoking sections in restaurants.
Right.
But yeah, I think LA was a little ahead of the game here. So we cut to a giant penis cake.
A giant penis cake just rolling across the screen.
Looks good.
I mean, it's a cake.
Yeah.
So, sure. And they're at this penis dildo release party.
And Carrie just wants to leave.
Yeah, which brings me back to something you've mentioned before about this idea that for a sex columnist, she's pretty judgy and prude.
She's very uptight. And even, I mean, I don't know. Her, okay, she's tired. She had a hard day. You write a sex column and you're at a dildo release party. There's some good material there,
right.
I bet. Like, you should probably, like, stick around and take some notes.
Mm-hmm.
We have this sort of, I'm going to say, erroneous idea that sex is somehow hidden in New York. Have you ever been to 42nd Street? I mean.
Right. Or have you been to the S&M restaurant that Samantha threw a party for?
Yeah. I don't really get this point. I think we're reaching a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think maybe what they're saying is the way that. Not even these women. Samantha puts her sexuality out there all the time. The point we try to get to is that Miranda feels hidden. That Miranda feels like she hides her sexuality. But that's not New York. That's her character.
And then they call out this woman, you know, like...
Who's dressed, provocatively. She's at a dildo release party.
At the Hustler building or whatever.
Carrie calls her a hooker.
Yeah. And she's actually a lawyer for Disney.
Fuck you, Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie, who a few episodes ago was wearing a skirt with no sides.
All of a sudden, it's real judgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Carrie's best moment. So Garth is signing. Do you want a dildo with ink on it? I don't know.
I mean, I think he's probably using a Sharpie.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't really. I mean,
and then we do get, this is where we reference where they're staying.
Right, because Samantha, he says, who should I make it out to? And she says, Samantha, room, blah, 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 the standard.
And then we cut to the standard.
Where I was a little concerned for Samantha. I mean, we saw how big that thing yeah. is and how loud they are. It's like, can she...
Well, now we...
Is it like going to come out through her eyes?
Yes, we know her threshold. This is fine. Mr. Too Big was too big.
Yeah. But how big was Mr. Too Big then?
I'm now concerned for his pants.
Yeah.
And then we get to breakfast the next day.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you just completely skipped over Carrie's bedazzled sleep mask.
Oh, that is true. Carrie, we do cut to Carrie in her CB bedazzled sleep mask. Miranda's snoring. Shouldn't Miranda have her own room? Isn't this the next day?
She was probably like, it's too much work.
Maybe.
To move my bag. She's probably sad. You know, there's
right.
things.
She's not having sex with what's-his-face.
Yeah, they're like, this is
Carrie's
actually fun.
So repressed, she's not going to do anything with anyone. No. So yeah, then we have breakfast the next day.
What is it about California air? It makes me sleep so well.
It's not the air. Your headboard knocked you unconscious.
You heard us?
I didn't.
No, Miss Snore, you wouldn't.
Are you okay?
I'm cranky.
Carrie has a meeting she doesn't want to go to. I didn't write a lot about this scene.
Just breakfast and dildos.
Breakfast and dildos. Just a usual LA morning.
Samantha
oh, yeah, once
got
again,
him.
Carrie's very much like, put those away.
Yeah, I don't want one.
Yeah.
I mean, they are big. They're like
they
in full
big.
Shoe boxes. They're. I don't know where they're going to put them.
I have to check their bags on yeah. the way back to New York.
Nobody needs this much. Do you know the average woman is only 5 inches deep?
Is that written on your placemat or something?
Pretty funny. I do like that comment. All right, there's a funny moment. We get back to Charlotte in New York licking stamps.
Making her, her thank you cards. You don't really lick stamps anymore.
Nope, not a thing.
No.
George's fiance would still be alive. That's a Seinfeld reference. I don't really watch Seinfeld, but I know that reference.
Well, spoiler.
And I guess it's a spoiler. And then we kind of get to, you know, Charlotte calls.
Mm-hmm. It's been days and still nothing. What if he really is impotent? Well, what kind of impotence do you think it is? The kind that makes it soft?
That's the entire punchline there. But we're talking about like physical or emotional. And then Carrie.
Genius.
Nancy Drew that she is.
Why don't you just tie an old piece of paper around the flaccid ween and see what happens when he wakes up? If it breaks, it means that it got hard while he was sleeping.
Sure, while Charlotte eyes the stamps.
Yeah, she's going to...
I know what I can do with those.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we have the moment of like, you know, this floor is non-smoking.
I have an addiction, sir!
If I was on that floor, I'd be annoyed, but it's still a funny line.
Right.
So we get to Samantha and Garth in bed.
So yeah, Samantha and Garth are in bed and...
He wants to know her interests. This is the beginning of them unraveling. Because Samantha doesn't want to know his interests.
No.
She doesn't want to tell him hers.
And he is a poet.
She doesn't want to know. She doesn't care.
But he's going to read her
she
some poetry anyway.
We have a quick flash to Charlotte and the stamps. I just wrote too many puns.
She went to sleep hoping her mail had sufficient postage to deliver his package into her box.
Yeah, Garth is reciting. Ugh. And then he's thinking of moving to New York. This is all not going to work out. Samantha makes up an excuse as to how she would be way too jealous, which is definitely not a Samantha thing. And that's kind of the end of that.
Yeah, not going to work out. I guess, Garth, they're not going to get married.
And then we have Carrie at the pool.
Carrie at the pool, smoking again.
Eddie McClintock. He's the guy at the pool.
Excuse me.
Put it out.
I was just wondering if I could bum one of those.
So yeah, she's smoking Merritts, and he's like, can I have one? And she's like,
I'm sorry. It's my last one.
You want some company? You sure you want to be alone?
I am. As soon as I said it out loud, I knew that was just what I wanted.
He's cute.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. He can come sit by me.
Okay.
So Charlotte wakes up a little too perky.
Yeah.
It's very Christmas morning, I guess. I guess that she's going along with that.
Like,
she's very excited
wait.
To see.
And then she goes down there and it's ripped.
And, you know, I guess good thing he didn't have to pee in the middle of
the
night.
Or, like, maybe, Charlotte, what actually happened was he was like, wait, why is there a piece of paper around my wiener? I guess I'm going to take this off. Like, you don't know what that means.
Yeah, she has a moment of being very excited of like, oh, it's not physical.
Oh, yeah, like when you go to the doctor, I doubt they're like, well, wait, before we do any clinical tests, have you put a strip of stamps around this?
And then it slowly sets in that I guess that, that not necessarily a great thing that it's not physical.
If it wasn't physical, she couldn't escape the fact that it might be emotional. And there was no easy love stamp solution to fix that.
So we cut to the three ladies at the Saddle Ranch Chop House, which is literally across the street from the Standard.
Yeah, and it was very impromptu, yet they all seem to have perfect outfits packed for
it. In my mind, there's like a weird sort of clothes check at the front door where like you have to, they're like, nope, these are the clothes you're going to wear when you come in here. Because they're all very dressed up for the Saddle Ranch. And then, you know, it's Miranda still on her little thing of like, why can't, you know, that woman's sexy and I'm not. And finally, Samantha's like, shut up.
Shut up. Do something about it.
Well, stop fucking complaining about it and just do something about it.
And so Miranda does.
And she does. And it's, she's like a sexy mom gone wild.
It's a funny moment, but it is.
Which lovely lady's gonna be next?
I will! Over here! She will!
Miranda going for it and like ripping open her shirt, and it is very like mom gone wild.
Yeah.
We weren't sure if it was the California climate or the 5 Lone Star beer she drank, but as soon as she got on that bowl, Miranda escaped. Miranda.
And then we had our last little scene where Carrie goes to the studio and she has her moment of deciding.
I could drive in and have someone tell me the mistakes I'd made in my past. Or I could drive on and figure them out myself.
She's not going to go.
She's not going to go.
She just kind of thuds like through around because she's not going to do
and
a
I don't,
straight line.
I don't know what that means for the fact that they flew her out there. But...
Yeah. I don't know if she gets sued.
But she's just going to go ahead and just enjoy the rest of her time in LA, I guess.
Yeah. I'm glad she didn't go because
Matthew McConaughey is creepy.
Yeah. Creeperville.
Though once again, in real life, I'm sure he's a nice person.
No, but I mean, we don't have another name to call him in this episode.
That's true. Yeah, we have a person that is the most meta, I suppose. We have a person playing themselves, replacing a person who ended up not being on the show. Many levels happening there.
Yeah.
So I couldn't help but wonder why Carrie rented a car she couldn't drive.
I couldn't help but wonder how Trey stayed asleep while Charlotte was applying postage to his penis.
That's a very good one. So we'll be back next week when I will have been in LA.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next week with a little more LA action and looking forward to it.
Got off on a train at... Wait.
No, that was good.
Hopped off a plane at LAX with my dreams in my cardigan.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elise Castle.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for Sex and Another City.
Mike wants me closer to the microwave.
I do. And then they find the... Elise just heard a noise and is convinced now there's murder in this room.
I need to, Mike has a body pillow under his covers, and I'm always a little bit scared by it. He moved it, though. It's not where it normally is.
Well, you can see that it's a pillow, for one thing.
Is it? Are you a pillow?
You're being such a non-pillow right now. That's a 30 Rock joke.
So, yeah.
It's rainy and dreary in New York, or is that her soul or something like that?
It's like your soul.
Yeah. It's rainy and dreary in my soul.
And she's packing. But he's
says,
like, I
it's
love...
so great to talk to a smart and pretty woman.
I was talking. Mansplaining.
So, I couldn't help but wonder... What if I never think of one?
Well, we're here for like 43 days.